Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Kernels. I'm Christopher Hooton, the Independence Culture Editor, and I'm here with my colleagues Jack Shepherd.
Hello.
And Jacob Stolworthy.
Hey.
So we kind of jumped in the booth for a little bonus episode this week to talk about Star Wars. I should say first off that it's going to be spoiler related this time. You know, it's been out for a few days now. I think a lot of people have, you know, who are really keen have got to see it, but you might want to come and pick this back up after you've been to cinema if you haven't seen it. Yeah, it's been an interesting release because it's been like the second biggest grossing opener ever, which we all expected, but the situation with like the kind of response to it, particularly between critics and fans, has been weird, unusual. You know, I think we're usually, you know, working on the desk we do, we're used to this kind of narrative where a big franchise movie comes out, critics are like, yeah, some of them, you know, kind of like it, some of them absolutely pan it, and then reliably it goes to the cinema and makes loads of money, and most of the time fans are more favorable than critics and actually like think it's fun. Whereas this time around, you know, we all piled into this one screening they did of The Last Jedi for like press, and everyone came out and seemed to love it, and pretty much all of the reviews, with the exception of like one or two that I saw, were very, very strong. A lot of 5 stars, a lot of bold statements being made, and then people started to go in cinemas to see it, and a lot of people loved it, but then a lot of people didn't. And you know, I've had a lot of tweets in response to my review and stuff from people I know and people I don't, saying like, "What the hell? Like, I hated this." So we kind of wanted to pick that apart, really, and work out what's happening and what's this weird parallel universe we're in where it's flipped for this movie.
I think we've become very used to the Marvel formula where it kind of, they release a film, it does well on Rotten Tomatoes, but all the reviews are like 3-star-ish. And this one did come out and everyone was so surprised at 5 stars, and it's built up lots of anticipation. Even the Twitter reviews were just, some of them were really OTT.
Although, just to jump in there, like, we did expect it to be good, wasn't it? It wasn't like people thought it would be bad and then they saw the critics' reviews and were like, oh, it was, you know, everyone was, I think, pretty confident heading in, so it shouldn't have come to that much of a surprise to people.
I think it's perhaps the level at which critics were praising it.
Right.
And that it was still, I think critics coming out and giving it 5 stars still comes as a surprise. You look at The Telegraph giving it 5-star, and that's a big statement, especially considering it is a franchise, and I think that still gives normal everyday cinema goers something of a heightened expectation, when perhaps this film for lots of people might not actually meet those grand heights. Because I mean I really enjoyed it as a big Star Wars fan, but I didn't think it was quite 5-star. It wasn't, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. It is 2.5 hours long. It is a bit over bloated. And I think fans, when you see that 5 stars, you think it must be the perfect film. It must meet all your expectations, which are already huge because it's, you know, he's been given a trilogy, Rian Johnson, the director. You have those expectations already, and to have them met by the reviews, and then perhaps the film isn't actually quite 5-star for lots of people. And I mean, I guess we'll talk about this in a bit, like the way critic screenings are sometimes done, especially these ones, and how they do give off this, it's a heightened reality.
Well, I just think, my thing is, there's just so much, like Star Wars is just so different to even the Marvel films, any other franchise. It's almost sacred, right? And it's like when, like, the thought of seeing a new Star Wars film is so huge and so exciting, regardless of whether you are a huge fan or you aren't. And we as critics, we are very lucky. We get to see these films before they're released, which are, you know, in some cases, the first screening in the country. So when you go there, it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of it all, so that when you do come out, you do perhaps... I mean, it's really hard to say because it's all a matter of opinion, and I would never ever begin to say someone's opinion is wrong or anything like that. But they might come away feeling more enthused about the film than they would had they seen it 4 weeks after, you know, and they paid for a ticket. I think I took my brother, who's a huge Star Wars fan, for his birthday, and he was so excited. And I was excited, but not for the same reason that he was. I was just a big fan of The Force Awakens, and I was excited to see what Rian Johnson was going to do with it. And I had a really fun time with it, but nothing more than that. My brother also had a really fun time with it, but there were things, as a Star Wars fan, that he didn't like about it as well. He wasn't disappointed. There was just things he didn't like about it. But then the reviews have been so divisive, which has confused me, because it's a really fun film. It's not awful, but by my money, it's not excellent. And I think that it's kind of a reaction to the positive reviews that the fans are, as Jack said, a tad disappointed.
I think that's it. Well, exactly what you just said about your brother. You know, he's this big Star Wars fan. He went in there expecting really good things, and he still enjoyed it, but he was slightly disappointed. And I think just the reviews have really stretched out that disappointed. And I don't think anyone, like, I genuinely don't think people are disliking it. I think people are still enjoying it. They must be. I
don't know, man. I've seen a lot of people.
I mean, there probably are some purists who just, like, you know, like, there are with everything.
Yeah.
There are some people who probably did that with Force Awakens as well.
I've only met one person who in person who's really disliked it, and then they came off as quite bitter about it. So
we're not naming names.
No names.
Going back to the criticism thing, it's weird because I sometimes think critics are sometimes guilty of overstating indies, kind of because they feel like they want to champion them.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of examples from this year. You could argue maybe Lady Bird coming out soon, people are getting behind that in a way that's actually bigger than the film, which is great, but maybe not, you know, best reviewed film ever, as it's been, you know, called in some places. When it's like the big kind of tentpole franchise movies, actually the critics are better at holding them to task because they don't feel so much on their side because it's a big studio who anything they feel kind of resistant to. So it's weird. And I guess I'm coming from it. It's interesting, obviously, you know, we've all been talking about it loads in the desk. And even though we often tend to feel quite similarly about these sorts of movies, I think we feel quite differently on this. Whereas Jacob's kind of very mixed, like it was all right. And I think Jack likes it a little bit more, and then I really, really like it. And if anything, I would be more inclined to put my 4-star review up to 5, because I think it delivers on every front I wanted it to. Really, I was watching it thinking, this is funny, this is getting like deeper into the kind of mythology of Star Wars than it ever Star Wars film ever has before. And the action scenes are great and quite brutal. And yet it also just comes across as quite lighthearted and fun. I think to do all of those things was pretty impressive. And why I thought it would be so beloved, because I thought that it was catering for everyone, the kind of more hardcore people, and then the kids and more casual viewers and stuff. That doesn't seem to be what's happened. And for some people, it's like blasphemy, and there's petitions that it should be struck from the canon and stuff.
Like, that's so extreme. Like, I know, I mean, yeah. I can't even like begin to think where these people are coming from. But I do think, like, personally from my experience, like you said, I was mixed on it. But when I came out, I was quite up on it, and the positive, glowing reviews have kind of worked a little bit on me to the point where I'm a bit confused by the chat. And then seeing people's disappointment, I'm just sad for the fans. And I would hope that the positive reviews didn't lull them into this false sense that they were watching the masterpiece they're expecting. So if it's worked on me a tiny bit to where I'm a bit loud, like, come on, guys, it was just a 3-star film. It wasn't awful. It wasn't amazing. Let's just enjoy it for what it is. Then it certainly would have. I can only assume it's worked that way on the fans.
I think we need to ignore the reviews. And even just looking at it without those, I think I can still understand why fans are picking the film apart. Because it's not classic Star Wars. There are points, the humour in it, for instance, is very different to anything we've seen before. Mm. The whole narrative of the movie, going into like proper spoilers, like having Rey without she's not a Skywalker. She's not a Kenobi. She's not a name. She's not like a proper chosen one anymore. And we've every Star Wars film has always been, we have Anakin Skywalker. We have Luke Skywalker. There's always been someone who is the chosen one. Kind of like in Blade Runner where they ditch the whole chosen one thing.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why I think, that's why it's so impactful to me watching it. I was like, this is the biggest departure that Star Wars has ever taken.
Mm.
And that's saying a lot under like somewhere like Disney that is usually so locks everything down and doesn't want anything to be like fucked with, to the point where they've been going around firing indie directors who've been trying to bring a new sensibility to the franchise. So I was really surprised to see it doing like all this like self-deprecating humor, taking the piss out of the things that Star Wars is based on.
This is funny.
And you know, like you were saying about having Rey, just her parents are just nobody. That's a very new element. Ditching a lot of the old elements from the prequel, just like pretending they didn't happen. And and I think the main one as well, just the amount of like scuppered missions in this one. You know, that usually in Star Wars, it's like there's the general who wants it to be done by the book, and then whether it's Han Solo or Poe Dameron or whoever, trying to like do things their own way in some super high risk maneuver that eventually pays off. And this, that on two separate occasions, those plans are stupid, and then they pay for them, and people die because of them, and then someone has to come in and actually like do things more by the book. I was like, wow, they're taking this into some new places.
But I mean, I wish I felt that. Like, as in, I completely know what you're saying, but I feel like if it was going to be a departure, be more of a departure. Like for me, it wasn't really. I didn't watch it thinking, "Wow, this is such a different Star Wars film to anything that's come before." I really didn't feel that.
Really?
I thought this is a fairly fun, enjoyable film. That is literally. I'm so shocked when I'm hearing just like when I'm hearing people slate it. I'm like, that's unfair. When I hear your glowing review of it, in that, I wish I had that experience.
I think the themes are different in this one. You know, the whole Finn and Rose storyline, where like that really irked me initially, because I was watching it and it doesn't accomplish anything. Like, it doesn't move on the story at all, because they fail and then they fail again, and then they actually help out the bad guys, and it was frustrating.
Yeah,
to watch.
I was really frustrated by that,
but now I get it, because it's like,
it's almost like, I mean, this is a bit wanky, but it's almost like a commentary on those kind of side quests in films, and like saying
they went
on this madcap adventure to a casino, and it actually, you know, amounted to nothing.
Apparently, there was meant to be a scene where Kelly Marie Tran's character Rose, when she's on Canto Bright, she puts on this dress and she comes down. It's like I hate to say the word ugly duckling, but that's apparently what it was in the script, where she's now looking so glamorous, and Finn's like, oh my god, and they got rid of that. Thankfully,
I'm glad. Yeah,
imagine.
Terrible. I really enjoyed the time at the casino though. Like, I was into that.
Justin Theroux.
Yeah,
leftovers.
But lots of people have hated that. Lots of people have hated that setting. I was seeing online and people were like, this feels like Earth almost, and it feels very different to anywhere else in Star Wars. But I like that.
It was almost like this was Rian Johnson's place to go, okay, all these people want cameos. Here's a list of people who I promised cameos to. Let's just shove them all in this film, because the majority of the cameos are in that scene.
I felt he was doing, it's like, well, the original films have got the cantina. I'm going to have my cantina.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it bigger and actually objectively better. Mm. But yeah, for still some people, they will, you know, think it's too out there, or I don't know, or maybe too humanoid. But
but maybe they wouldn't have felt that if they hadn't read all the positive reviews before seeing the film.
Maybe.
This is like, I don't know.
I think you have to ignore that. I think even just looking at it, just going in, that scene, I mean, it irked me a bit just because of the pointlessness of it and where it leads with the weird CGI horses is,
oh, yeah,
that's odd.
That, like, is odd. I'd happily lose that.
I think they could have done that in a very different way, and I think it kind of almost it's borderline ruining that part of it for me, because it is so weird. And but not just weird, it's not done as well as the rest of the film. Like, there are certain bits in this film which I think people are picking apart. That's one of them. The other one would be flying Leia, which seems...
was kind of weird.
It was kind of odd, wasn't it? Yeah.
Like, even the CG on
that bit.
It reminded
me of Beetlejuice when you first meet Beetlejuice, and he's like flying around after the green place. Like, it's really what it reminded me of.
A lot of people were saying it's like Mary Poppins.
It's kind of weird. Wait, it was sort of like a twist on Carrie Fisher's death as well, is because you were like, oh, okay, so well, she's died in real life, so this is the death scene.
Mm.
But wait.
Yeah.
I know, I put my hand on my mouth and was so shocked. I was like, is that it? They're going to kill her off like that? Another bit which was weird, the John Boyega, Finn trying to like commit suicide, almost going like kamikaze into that thing and then stopping. It would have almost been better to just write him out there.
Such a great scene. Yeah. I just was
watching that whole film, like, what is Finn's role? His only thing is, I was a stormtrooper once. He's really not to do with anything, and he's kind of served his purpose.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's just let him go. This guy go. There's too many characters in this potentially already. Like, let him go. And then he pulls out, but
it's a shame.
It's a kid's film.
I quite like him as a character.
Doing a suicide mission into a roaring flame.
That's quite true.
But also, you literally just had one character commit suicide as well.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite weird in itself.
The one at the beginning, do you mean, with the bombs?
Well, there was that one, and then there was Laura Dern's character as well.
That was shot so nicely.
Yeah, it was. Those scenes were some of the best in the film, for sure.
The whole cinema just went quiet on that bit, completely. That was really great. But people have an issue with that now, because this is going back to like proper Star Wars fans. They're saying, oh, why didn't they just do light speed into the Death Star or light speed into whatever?
Mm.
And it kind of saying it's messing with canon. That's something lots of fans have an issue with. At the end, when you've got Luke doing his force jump, you know, when it's his hologram on the other planet.
Yeah.
And they're going, oh, you know, that's never happened before. You can't do that. Luke Skywalker is another character everyone's just had issues with him playing with the dark side. I know we were talking about this earlier, how I think it's quite in fitting with his character to have that dark streak.
Yeah.
But lots of people, you know, it's their childhood hero who is this kind of personification of everything that's innocent and good, who's now a grumpy old man living as a hermit.
But like you say, that has always been there in the first films, you know, that is constantly there, you know, this idea of like darkness and light, and it's life to an extent is, you know, always a balance of the two. So I quite like that element. But
I think people ignore it though. And it's just, it's odd. It's difficult to, I can't speak for the fandom because it's so huge. And even though it's one of my favorite series, I still really enjoyed this film, and I like it when people mess around with this stuff, because at least it keeps you on your toes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And the fact that people were complaining about Force Awakens for being the same, and now they're complaining about this one being too different. Like, there's no pleasing some people.
They're really not. I mean, and those conversations between Luke and Rey, like in the cave where they're talking about, and it almost sort of ends up sounding like Chinese philosophy and stuff about the nature of the Force. That's way deeper than like the original films were just like, there is the Force, feel it. Like, you know, they actually tried to go a lot more, actually flesh it out. But for some people,
I think the idea of it is way more interesting and engrossing. But I think the execution of it just didn't land for me as much as it did for you, which isn't to say it didn't land in any way. It did. I had a good time. I really enjoyed it. But I think, because I absolutely love The Force Awakens, not just for being a kind of like, you know, shot for shot rehash. I love J.J. Abrams, and I was so excited watching that film. And I had moments of that in this film, but I also had moments of, come on, this needs to go somewhere now. And I think the problem, like you, what Jack was saying about people are angry that they're messing with the Star Wars canon, you know, that doesn't really apply to me, because I am not a diehard fan. So thankfully that wasn't a qualm for me. But I think that there were some moments where in that film where Rian Johnson's writing was brilliant. I thought there were some moments where it was actually pretty weak.
There were a few.
Thankfully, Adam Driver is far and away the best thing about the film.
Yeah.
And Oscar Isaac, obviously. But he can write Kylo Ren scenes. So that you know, it's not like I think Rian Johnson is a waste of space and this was a bad film. I really did enjoy it, but I just can't get the praise for it because there were scenes where Rian just wasn't as strong. For a film that oscillates like that, it can't be five stars. It can't be.
I think part of the reason that I enjoyed it so much is because, like you, I'm not a diehard fan. So all those jokes for me where he's like, what do you really know about the Force? And she's like, it's just like moving some rocks or something. Mm. And I kind of enjoy that because I don't take it so seriously. And I like that the film doesn't take it too seriously. But
yeah.
I guess that annoyed some people. But
when Luke's like, I'm just an old man with a laser sword or something.
Yeah, I love that he called it a laser sword.
I think most people are happy with that. And I think that's why everyone goes to the cinema just to turn off and enjoy these things.
Yeah.
And it's only when you look back at it critically and you go, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, this Luke being able to do that all of a sudden doesn't really make any sense. Him being grumpy doesn't, you know, lots of Star Wars doesn't make that much sense. And we're at a stage now where we're nine films in. You can't tell the same simple stories again as the original trilogy. Like, Force Awakens did that in a simple rehash way. But if they'd done that again, then people would have been even angrier. Yeah. So we kind of...
I mean, Rian Johnson could have been like, well, you know, in the prequels, there's all this stuff about midichlorians and, like, particles and, like, been adhered to that. But he was like, fuck it, no, I want to do something fresh. Let's just
together.
I quite liked as well because I reviewed Force Awakens really favourably, but I've since, like, soured on it massively. And I liked all the kind of shots it took at it. Like, I love that the entire point of J.J. Abrams' film was about getting that Skywalker, like, that lightsaber to Luke, and then he just tosses it over his shoulder. I quite enjoyed that, like, literally throwing the rule book out the window thing. But
then I think ultimately, like, these directors, I think we'd be thinking the same thing about this film if J.J. Abrams had directed this one, and same, and you would have, you know, you won't be feeling as strong in The Force Awakens if Rian Johnson had directed that one as well. I think it's kind of the directors, and writers, obviously they are important, but this is ultimately just Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy going, we want this to happen. So it's like, I don't know. If
I feel like Rian Johnson's fingerprints are all over this.
I would also think JJ probably would have had a chat with Rian Johnson about this and loved that as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think he wouldn't have thought of it himself, some of those twists.
No.
But he would have enjoyed them. Yeah.
Yeah. But he would have come up with twists that were, well, arguably better. Maybe, I don't know.
No,
I mean,
I
he did create Lost after
you,
all.
You know, you look at Looper and Rian
Which
Johnson's
was kind of fine.
I really like that film. Mm. I think it's
could
really
have been
good.
Better. Rian could have been better Johnson.
I didn't expect such a fun film from him when he's, he did Looper, which is like pretty bleak. And he did like the Ozymandias episode of Breaking Bad and stuff.
Yeah, which is good.
But I mean, I guess this all just brings us round to the whole this issue of like the conflicting ideas of like what they'll do with it next. So they've got an immensely successful film that's going to do crazy business. But then I don't know what they... You know, they put it back into J.J. Abrams' hands away from Colin Trevorrow for the
Bring
finale.
It on.
And they, I'm like, what their notes going to be? Are they going to be like, continue with that kind of humor, continue with that kind of like risk taking and fresh stuff, or just, I don't know, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know if they'll continue that same tone with JJ. I don't know if JJ has that tone in many of his films though, with the more quippy type.
I don't know. Right. Mission Impossible 3 has its, you know, it was pretty good, and has, I don't know, I'm just a JJ apologist, I guess, but I think he's got an absolutely tough task on his hands.
Massive.
Closing this trilogy because it's just a bit of a thankless task.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to incite more debate than this film is.
You forget as well, because, you know, I mentioned in my review that, you know, Rian Johnson kind of had the best job because in the middle film, all you got to do is continue things. So you can go on as many detours as you want to do. But he's not only, J.J. Abrams, not only pulling together the end of this trilogy, he's pulling the end of 9 films, like decades and decades of history. And
is it going to be the end, though?
Well, but I mean, it may make it sound like it is if the next trilogy is going to be, you know, a completely different new proposition set in another part of the universe. It sounds like maybe not at least until we're like 70, they're not going to start up this storyline again. So he's got to pay all of that off. And that's a really big job. I don't know how you do that.
I think everyone kind of knows how it's going to end. They've really set it up in this one for it's going to be Rey versus Kylo. Rey will win. And then she'll, you know, the very last scene kind of has that kid with his Jedi power. And so it sets up for her to now start the new Jedi Order. Like, she has all the Jedi books as well in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
You get that brief shot. It's all going towards that one end point. And it will be...
I hope it just doesn't do that, because they sort of already did that with the thing with the broom kid at the end of this one. You know, that whole, like, swelling point of, there's all these kids out there with parents, you know, who aren't any, like, special Jedi monarchs, and So if
maybe
they just
it'll just
end
be
it,
a Jedi fiesta, just loads of Jedis going at it.
They bring Mace Windu bags. Yeah. To Samuel Jackson.
But this is what I mean. If it does do that, it's you're not going to enjoy that because that's literally all it does, and you're going to blame JJ for that. And well, no, that's the thing. But no.
JJ like Abrams is like,
I can't believe how much apologising you're doing for JJ. If you're going to blame JJ.
But all I'm saying is, if Rian Johnson was directing that one, then I do think the director obviously has a huge mark on it, but ultimately when it comes to Star Wars, it's not the successes and failures of these films can't just fall onto the director. So I don't know.
I think they will want to end it quite finitely though, if they're going to move into this, you know, this supposedly new next completely
galaxies.
New thing. I think it will.
I do think that, you know, the broom kid at the end, like that scene, I can imagine them all going, oh, people, the hairs are going to be standing on end on the back of people's necks and things like that. And did you guys get
that?
No,
I didn't get that.
I didn't get that at all. It just kind of finished.
I got that with other stuff in the movie, but I didn't really need that.
Yeah.
I kind of got that sense from the scene, that really like good scene. All the stuff with Kylo Ren and Rey fighting in that area was awesome.
Terrific.
And yeah, it was a really cool scene. And I kind of got that when he, you know, explained the parentage thing. So yeah, I didn't feel like I needed that. It felt a bit
tacked on at the end. Yeah. And I think because it did end, it ended with that, wasn't it, the shot on the Millennium Falcon where you see Leia sitting next to Rey and everyone's kind of working around them.
Mm.
And it's like, this is the beginning. Like, this is a new hope right here.
Yeah.
Of everyone kind of branching out this, the new resistance. But I don't know, then suddenly you've got this weird extra shot just to take it on a little bit and show the legacy of Luke Skywalker, and I get it, but I feel like it almost could have been slotted in just before, maybe going from Luke's death into that and then end with the shot of this is the new lot.
Yeah,
you know, we're going into the final film with these people.
Yeah, I didn't expect the credits to roll after that scene,
but then I would have been like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Do you know, that's my prediction for episode 9 title, A New Hope. I think they're gonna do it again.
Again, they're not going to do it again.
Imagine
a new hope.
The SEO will be impossible.
Another new hope.
Another new hope.
No, it won't be another new hope, but it'll be something to do hope. I guarantee. Finishing, just bringing it full circle.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then JJ Abrams will literally be doing a new hope.
I've got to say, then
I can't apologise anymore.
I've enjoyed covering this film. Actually, it's been fun and it's been interesting as well. All the backlash. The amount stretching in front of us, I don't know. I'm not so. I feel like it's been fun to see a trilogy that spanned decades that we remember when we were kids, that our parents remember, you know, being capped off in a way. The idea of that we're starting a new one in the 2020s is like, oh God, can we please do some kind of other space opera?
Yeah,
but that's the. I mean, that my younger brother who came out of it, he was just like, I need a break from Star Wars. Already he needs a break. And I was like, yeah, every year, it doesn't... When Force Awakens came out, I think the reason everyone loved it so much was that it felt really special. Rogue One, less so, but it was like, oh, it's a new spin-off. And this one, it's, oh, Luke's back. This is really cool. It still feels kind of special, but it's almost waning a bit. And I can imagine, you know, you got Solo coming out
in five months. I can see critics feeling like maybe they overstated Last Jedi a bit. The fact that just like the fatigue of having had like three films in last year, like, do we need another side film as well? Especially after Rogue One was shit, to be honest.
What do you think the legacy of Last Jedi will be? How do you think people are going to look back on it?
I think it's a really enjoyable watch. I think people will look back on it fondly. But I can see Solo not going well for them at all. And with the fact that the directing's a bit all over the shop, I can see it not really working and people really going for it. But
I think you're dreaming if you think that people aren't going to give Solo 5 stars because they're the first people in the country to have seen.
Really?
God, you're a pessimist today.
Oh, I am.
Pessimistic.
It's Christmas in less than a week, though. That's good, isn't it? That's fun. No, I don't know. It'd be a real shame if they screw up Solo. That's what I'm saying. Because that character is so good and Ordinary Mike is cool and it's a really good cast. Say for Emilia Clarke. So yeah,
I'm not a big fan of prequels though, just in general. So like, I don't need to know that guy's backstory.
I don't like how there's no tension in it. Like, you know he survives.
Yeah,
you know he comes out.
If they screw that up, that'd be a shame. That could be a real fun film, couldn't it?
I would have been excited if they still had Lord and Miller on it.
Yeah.
Now it's like Ron Howard, who's like, it's so beige. Like, what kind of flair is he going to bring to it? And especially when you consider that the other two, like 21 Jump Street and Lego Movie and things like that are so much fun. And they're just so, you know, they shouldn't have worked. They're films that shouldn't have worked, but worked. And Solo is a movie that probably shouldn't work, but they could have maybe made it work. And now it's like, it's a film that shouldn't work. And considering everything happened, it probably won't work.
They could. I mean, Lord and Miller must have been really screwing shit up. Like just like throwing shit around to get rid of them. And Rian Johnson was kind of doing the same in Last Jedi and they were happy with it.
They've really bitten their lip, haven't they, about it? They're not really talking about what happens, even though someone in that scenario, presumably both sides, are absolutely fuming about it. But
well, I was talking to a guy who worked on the film and he said that with Lord and Miller, it very much was this improvisational, they do like four or five scenes straight how it is in the script just to get it out the way. But to literally just throw that under the carpet and be like, now we're actually going, now this is what we want to do. And everyone would be kind of flying things around. And then the reason it all got stopped was because you had Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote the film. And it's like this is his dream project. You know, he wrote Empire and stuff. And now he's written this one with his son. And so he wants...
Jake Kasdan.
Yeah, so, I think so. Yeah. And now he, you know, this is his baby. Really, he's the driving force behind it. So it's kind of fair enough if you want your vision. They should have almost got him to direct it.
Oh, yeah, just let him do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the job of a screenwriter that you have to let go, isn't it? You can't be backseat directing.
But it's kind of what Jacob was saying earlier about, you know, Kathleen Kennedy being the, like, how much influence can a director have on these films? You know, if you've got Kathleen Kennedy and Lawrence Kasdan standing behind you going, this is the film we're making. Unless, I mean, with Rian Johnson, it was lucky that they literally just gave him everything and went, you can write it, you can direct it, and just have fun. Yeah, and now have a trilogy because that worked out. I'm pretty sure if they went to Lord and Miller, here's some brand new story. It doesn't need to be a prequel. Doesn't need to have any original characters in it. Just go and throw yourselves in some corner of the universe and make a film. It'd probably be really funny and really great. But they were
full Disney, really. That's a real missed up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, I mean, we don't know the working relationship behind that, but you can imagine, you can only imagine at Disney there being quite a lot of control over these films.
Yeah.
But obviously Rian Johnson didn't have that because maybe he's just amazing. Maybe he's just, he seems like a really nice guy.
Rian could have been better than Wes Johnson.
Right. Well, what have we learned? Don't take Star Wars that seriously. Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have fun and don't.
It's Christmas.
Just enjoy yourselves. Just go to the cinema and enjoy it.
Don't overegg it. Don't underdo it. Just have a good time.
Yeah.
Don't read our work and work of journalists. It's all. Actually, we need to pay the bills. Thank you. Cool. All right. Well. Thanks for that, guys. Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Cheers, mate.
And Merry Christmas to our listeners. Thank you genuinely so much for listening. It's been nearly a year of Kernels now, and I've really, really enjoyed doing it, and I hope you two here have enjoyed contributing.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Looking forward to keeping it going into new heights in 2018.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.